The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Well, looky here. It's our last hour together of the day. It's our last hour together of the week. It's our last hour together of the month of May. Can you believe that? And in the last Gordon Griffin news burst, as will often happen even on a topic-heavy day, Gordon gives me another topic. And it happens to be about a restaurant I know, a restaurant I love, a guy I've met. And his point is they are suing the state, saying we are owed money because the shutdown was kind of like an unconstitutional taking, like eminent domain. If they come get your house, if they come get your business, government owes you money. Was the lockdown kind of like that? I don't know, but we'll take a look at that and a bunch of other things as soon. And here's what we're going to take a look at, because you know it's coming. You know it's coming. Get ready for it. Wait for it. It's coming. Seconds away. For our final top of the hour, James Brown montage musical burst, amid all of this virus nonsense, we're going to talk about a malady that everybody should want. And here it comes, because it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
I think I've done this before. It's worth a revisit. 1975, the J. Geils Band from Hotline. The heck with COVID-19. What we all need is a good, strong case of love-itis. Peter Wolf. Really got it bad.
They said you really got it bad, and I know it for sure.
So let's go to the doctor.
They said the only one that can fill your prescription. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're getting to the chorus.
And this feeling I got ain't got but one description.
Know what he said? He said, I got a thing called. All together now.
Love-itis, got a hold on me. Love-itis, got control on me.
Okay, all right. Now, there you go. Love-itis. That's something I want to spread. The greatness of the J. Geils Band, Peter Wolf out front. And Hotline was their 1975 album, on which you can find that. Love-itis, got a hold on me. All right, a bunch of topics got a hold on me. Let's do some calls, burst of calls first. Then the restaurant lawsuit against the state saying, hey, we got some money coming for what you did to us, government. Look, I'm all about government doing right by the private sector. We'll put that under our layperson legal microscope, and we'll do a bunch of other things before we are done for the week, done for the month, and send you to whatever your weekend holds. 866-660-5759. We are in Rockwall. Sarah, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well.
Hi. How are you? Doing great.
Love the show. To your point earlier about the DA's comments, I was watching the news this morning. I kind of was just paying attention, but while I was on hold, I actually pulled it up. A lot of police departments have banned the use of neck restraints, but Minneapolis is not one of those. And so I looked in their process and procedures, because every police department has one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of wondering if what he was referring to is 5-311. It talks specifically about neck restraints. And it says non-deadly force option defined as compressing one or both sides of a person's neck with an arm or leg without applying direct pressure to the trachea or airway, parentheses, front of the neck. And it talks about, you know, who's able to use it. You've got to be registered or trained, blah, blah, blah. But, but they used to allow that as an option, and as a great
These are technicalities that belong in any examination of what happened, no doubt about it. I have a feeling when those guidelines were written, they envisioned, if we all, you know, remember the Staten Island, New York death of Eric Garner, the last famous I can't breathe case. He was standing, and they had him in a neck restraint, and then he went to the ground. I don't know if when they were writing the guidelines on neck restraint, they envisioned one part of the restraint being somebody's knee and the other part of the restraint being the ground. I don't know. I don't know, but that's exactly what needs to be examined when taking a look at what's the difference between a video that really looks bad. There are plenty of videos that really look bad that are totally by the book. The next layer is, all right, it's not by the book, so it's a violation of policy. These guys deserve to be fired. All right, that's already happened. The next level is, did somebody commit a crime here? Those are the wheels of justice, and I guess they better turn those wheels fast or the town will burn more.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, thank you.
All right, God bless. Thank you. My pleasure, Sarah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 866-660-5759. We are in Arlington. Deborah, hi. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a nurse, and from day one, you're always taught to protect the neck. Firefighters, ambulance technicians, even lifeguards are always taught to protect the neck.
Oh, no doubt.
The neck is connected to your brainstem.
Yep.
The brainstem has your medulla oblongata, which controls your breathing, your respiration, your heartbeat.
Yep.
It controls everything.
No doubt.
And why you see so many people, police people, grabbing the neck with an elbow and throwing them on the ground, laying on it, and that's the most important part of the body.
It is extremely important. That's why there's a lot of... there's going to be a lot of attention paid to where is the line crossed in terms of law enforcement's ability to restrain someone with some type of neck hold. Is the sensitivity, the vital importance of everything that's in there inside your neck, from the trachea, your windpipe, your spine, there's all kinds of things that are in there in the neck. Should that mean that the neck is completely and totally off limits as a way to get somebody on the ground? Probably not. Are people brought down with some level of neck restraint hundreds of times a day in America without incident? Probably. However, it is tricky for reasons you describe, and that is why such things should be undertaken with great, great care. Was that care observed in this case in Minneapolis? It sure doesn't look like it to untrained eyes, but it's left to the trained eyes to pass more judgment. 866-660-5759. All right, T, we are in Fort Worth. Todd, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hello, Mark.
Hey.
Like you, man.
I like you, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm depressed. What have I done? Anyway, nice to have you.
I was just wanting to kind of change the topic. You know, tomorrow is a potential launch of the Demo 2.
That's it. 2:22. This time, 2:22. Easy to remember. Yes. Yeah, Central Time, our time. And hopefully, well, it will. And listen, the weather doesn't look real good tomorrow or Sunday either. So let's cross our fingers. They don't need, you know, a full, clear, sunshiny sky. They can have clouds. They can have storms if they're far enough away where it looks like we can get up and shoot through some kind of hole up and into orbit there at about 2:22, or exactly 2:22. If that happens, it will be there. So I'll be there on Twitter. Yes. I hope everybody joins
us. And on Starship, SN4 has been given FAA clearance for a 150-meter hop down in Boca Chica.
Right. Now did they complete a successful, what's called a static test, I think, yesterday?
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
their fourth static fire, and shortly thereafter, FAA gave the approval for the hop for Monday on the 1st.
Unbelievably cool. Now, this is what might be a bit of a heavy lifting rocket in the future that involves, but before you send something up into the sky, you do what are called static tests. That's where it's bolted down and you fire off the engines anyway. And a lot of that's done down in South Texas at Boca Chica, which is very cool. And so those are fun to watch as well. Todd, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let us, once again, just lift up a prayer for success for Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken and the thousands of people, NASA people, SpaceX people, thousands of people behind this effort. It's two guys going to the space station. We've been sending people to the space station for decades. But this starts a brand new chapter, a private sector partnership, SpaceX and NASA. SpaceX is not the only private entity that's going to do it. Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, The Washington Post, has a private enterprise outfit. Richard Branson, Virgin Galactic. So this is the future. It is a public-private partnership that probably puts us back on the moon, maybe in 4 or 5 years. Wouldn't that be something? And then will we see footprints on Mars while I'm still alive? I mean, I'd like to think I'd go well into my 90s. I'd like to do well there. That gives me 30 more years. When man walked on the moon, when I was 11, I thought we'd have people on Mars by the time I was 40. I mean, come on. So it's time to get back on it. It is time to get back on this greatest adventure in human history. 866-660-5759. All right, we're wallowing through the adventure of virus response and the economics of it and the logistics of it. Mark Cuban was on with Sean Hannity last night. We'll listen into a little bit of that next, and listen in always to you at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 921. Little Lenny Kravitz at 926. 866-660-5759. All righty. Mark Cuban on Hannity last night.
Everybody made imperfect decisions with imperfect information. I'm not saying New York did it right. They certainly made mistakes, but so did everybody. Look at small towns in Texas and other places that have meat processing plants where 20% of the population is now stricken with COVID. I mean, it's just hard to deal in those circumstances. And so, I mean, it's hard to cast blame in that. But
all
I understand
the models, though, and predictions were wrong. Well, we can all agree on that. But yeah. The one thing that always remained consistent is protect the elderly. And they put COVID patients in places that were telling them we can't handle this. So here's what I think we learned. Protect the elderly. We also, in the epicenter of this. Every week I go to the store, I see the same people, cashiers, guys stocking the shelves. They all wore masks. Nobody at these local stores got sick. Masks are working.
Now, I can't argue with that at all, Sean. And you did a great job sending that message that people need to protect not just themselves, but the people around them. And that's a great reason to wear a mask.
Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. All right. I looked at your plan. I like the idea. I like ideas. I don't care where the idea comes from. I want ideas. I want our stadiums full. And you said, okay, a lose it or use it or lose it debit card.
Right.
And what, up to $1,000, $1,200, you have a certain period of time, stimulate the economy.
Right.
The problem is we spent $3 trillion already. $3 trillion. Another $4 trillion in loan guarantees. The country can't afford this. We got to reopen.
Well, I'm not saying we don't reopen, but the question, so what's happened now, and I'll even put the hit on the Democrats here. When the PPP program was initiated, great plan, right? But the key to making it work was getting stimulus money in the hands of businesses immediately. And so when the Democrats started over-negotiating, getting money for museums and everything, that created a delay. That meant that small businesses had to lay people off. Once small businesses laid people off, that really defeated the purpose of the payroll protection program. That now leaves businesses, small businesses, in a state of suspended animation. They're not open all the way yet. They don't have all the demand back. They can't bring their employees back. 68% of them are making more money in unemployment. So what we need to do in order to change that is to stimulate demand. And the way to stimulate demand is to give people checks that they have to spend. Because the only way, whether a state is open or closed, whether it's 25% or 50% of capacity, the only way that they can justify and afford to bring employees back, particularly after July 31st, when the enhanced unemployment runs out, is by having demand.
Exactly right. And so we can debate all day about, you know, further government money, but there is no substitute for commerce. Now, as Cuban and Hannity were both, you know, extolling the virtue of masks, and there is virtue to this. It's, pardon the usage here, it's no skin off your nose, except it might be. You take that thing off too briskly. Listen, if there's some business you walk into and they ask you to do it, of course you do it. Don't be a jerk. However, how necessary is this, really? You know who the most recent people are to say that you only need a mask if you're caring for coronavirus patients or if you are sick with a fever and a cough? That would be the much maligned World Health Organization. Dr. April Baller, a public health specialist for the WHO, put a video up on the on their website. If you do not have any respiratory symptoms, fever, cough, runny nose, you don't need to wear a mask. Look, man, as I talked about with Mike Gallagher today, wear it, don't wear it. You're going to have, listen, just do it if you want to. Do it. I'm going to settle this right now. Amid all this confusion, I am going to settle this. If you want to wear one, wear one. If a business wants you to, do it. Don't be a jerk. If, however, you're somewhere and you're outside and you're asymptomatic and you're staying away from people, do you have an obligation to wear a mask? I don't think you do. But you do you. Do what you want to do. Be basically considerate of people, and we're all going to be okay. Okay? We're not all going to be okay. Guess what? People are going to die. People are going to get the COVID-19. They're going to get the Rona. It's going to happen. And they're going to get the flu. And every once in a while, we'll have an H1N1. We'll have this and we'll have that. These things will happen. The decision is, how much are we going to disrupt and even destroy our lives in response? And so moving forward, it's time for some balance in that. 9:31. Let's head into the newsroom. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Here's Gordon Griffin. How about a little Genesis? Oh, dude. Operator error. Phil Collins, have another go at Heat Haze. And they come refresh me. Those hot winds all the south. Oh, I feel like I'm hearing a stranger in an alien. If you are looking, listen, choose your own favorite Genesis album, but for me, it is Duke from 1980. All right, so amid all the things going on, we're trying to figure out, you know, what law enforcement is supposed to do amid rioting. Sometimes law enforcement has to figure out what to do amid journalism. Have you heard the buzz about Omar Jimenez of CNN getting arrested on the air? I know that the governor of Minnesota called CNN and apologized for this. Okay. So hang on, so here's apparently, I guess, what leads up to the moment.
Guys, we can move back to where you'd like. We can move back to where you'd like here. We are live on the air at the moment. This is the four of us. We are one team. Just put us back where you want us. We are getting out of your way. So
they seem compliant. He's going to be arrested in a minute.
Wherever you'd want us, we will go. We are just getting out of your way when you were advancing through the intersection. So right, just let us know, and we got you.
Well, somebody say something. I mean, make clear.
And this is a scene here playing out in Minneapolis. This is part of the advanced police presence that we saw come over the course of really minutes when the local police showed up at the fire department, or with the fire department.
Now, a bunch of guys who are riot geared up, wearing the familiar state patrol lettering on their bulletproof vest, have surrounded Omar on CNN.
Say on that building we showed you that was burning. This is among the State Patrol unit that was advancing up the street, saying and scattering the protesters at that point for people to clear the area. And so we walked away. I'm sorry?
You're under arrest.
Okay.
What?
Do you mind telling me why I'm under arrest?
Okay. Okay. So there's Olar Jimenez describing what happened. Did you hear anybody saying, back up, back up, back up, back up? Hang on. Let's do the instant replay on this.
Fire department, or with the fire department, I should say, on that building we showed you that was burning. This is among the State Patrol unit that was advancing up the street, saying and scattering the protesters at that point for people to clear the area. And so we walked away. I'm sorry?
You're under arrest.
Okay. Do you mind telling me why I'm under arrest, sir? Why am I under arrest, sir?
There go the cuffs.
Okay.
Back to you, Brooke.
CNN, we told you before that we are with CNN.
Okay. All right. So, man. All righty. Hey, we've bigger fish to fry, I suppose, than Omar's arrest. He was unscathed a little later on here. Hang on a second. Was there a later on? I think he emerged later on and said he called the experience confusing. I guess so. Much of it is. Alrighty, let's see here. Other things I wanted to make sure to get to. That would be. All right. I tell you what, speaking of reporters amid the damage, as the sun rose this morning, Alex Perez of GMA had a bit of a full package on the night's festivities in Minneapolis.
Still a very active situation here. I want you to take a look behind me. You can see that line of state police officers trying to clear this area. And I want you to look on the other side here. You can see one of the buildings, a restaurant building here, smoldering still, like so many buildings in this area. The protests here and across the country are growing louder.
Overnight, a chaos in the streets of Minneapolis. Buildings and cars on fire, thick black smoke filling the sky as protesters demanding justice for George Floyd clash with police.
Okay, maybe I'm really going to come down hard on this. Protesters demanding justice. A protester demanding justice is someone who stands in a crowd or alone, I don't care, and demands justice. It says, bring charges now. Or, you know, chanting George Floyd's name or whatever from the Black Lives Matter index cards of slogans, whatever. That's a protest demanding justice. What they are showing footage of right now are buildings on fire, streets littered with broken glass. That is not a demand for justice. That is opportunistic crime. That is looting. That is rioting for the sake of rioting.
Some demonstrators smashing windows of this police precinct, officers on the roof firing smoke and flashbang grenades. The crowd dispersed, but then returned and stormed the precinct, police evacuating as protesters set fire to the building.
Okay, let's review that. Rioters storm a police precinct, and what happens? I'm sorry, did I hear wrong? Let's revisit for just a moment.
Smashing windows of this police precinct, officers on the roof firing smoke and flashbang grenades. The crowd dispersed, but then returned and stormed the precinct, police evacuating as protesters set fire to the building.
What's wrong with this picture? Anytime you have the police evacuating their own building as hooligans and rioters win the moment, that is when law and order have broken down. Now, I don't take this lightly. I know that, what's the alternative? You know, shoot them. And I don't want anybody to I don't want people dead. I mean, I'm trying to have as few people dead as possible here. So I'll ask you, and maybe let's put our thinking caps on and think about this over the weekend. And please, God, let us have some level of calm, some level of sensibility, some level of cooler heads, and not have this happen all flipping weekend in Minneapolis. And I'll tell you, I have a lot of conversations with people who look somewhat askance at the militarization of the police. You know, wait a minute, what are these cops doing with equipment that looks like the Articles of War? What are they doing with tanks? What are they doing with huge armored vehicles? Hey, now you know. Now you know. Because every once in a while, that's exactly what you need. Because if looters and rioters are going to make Minneapolis look like the streets of Fallujah, then maybe there needs to be a response of the type that you might see on the streets of Fallujah. So, and maybe some big armored thing, you know, maybe that thing might disperse some of these folks. And it's funny, as Alex Perez said, they had some smoke and some, you know, well, I mean, and they dispersed. Great. But then they came back. And when they came back, the rioters won. We can't have that.
Many watching the building go up in flames as the city of Minneapolis warned of unconfirmed reports that gas lines of the 3rd Precinct have been cut and other explosives are in the building, pleading please retreat in the event the building explodes. The city's mayor declaring a state of emergency, Minnesota's governor activating the National Guard to try and maintain order, sending 500 soldiers to the area. This as clashes erupt across the country. In Denver, one car drove into a crowd of protesters, knocking one person to the ground before the crowd chased after it. In downtown Manhattan, police say dozens...
Manhattan? What? Excuse me? What is that? I mean, excuse me, Alex. I just... Can we... Okay, don't get me started on that.
...were arrested. One officer punched in the...
Pronounce every letter and every word, please. If I hear one more reporter say that somebody is threatening to do something in Manhattan... Just stop it. It's the language. It's the alphabet. There are letters in there. Pronounce them, please, when they're called for. Thank you.
Face and another hit with a trash can. One person allegedly attempted to take an officer's gun from their holster.
Oh, that's just okay. Okay. Oh, lordy, lordy. Well, it's, you know, there's, and here's the thing. Maybe for in a situation that cries out for context, let's offer this so that we don't all just go insane and think that society is just off the rails completely. Percentage of people engaged in this hooliganism, incredibly small. Percentage of people engaged in any type of violent protest, incredibly small. There, now, I'll tell you what, a small percentage of a big city like Minneapolis will still give you a lot of people. It'll still give you a lot of people. But the 99%+ of everybody reacting with sadness and even anger at the death of George Floyd is that that is not looting a store. We're in Burleson. Beverly, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Fine. Hey. Good morning, Mark.
Morning.
I enjoy your program so much.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you. I observed Channel 8 advertising a march in Dallas this weekend.
What's that?
Yes, that was on their local community.
What, I mean, but what kind of march?
It's organized by that New Direction.
All right.
I can't remember the full name of the organization, but okay. Anyway, it's run by that guy who's been in trouble before.
All right.
And then there is going to be one in Fort Worth.
No, but what's the problem? What's problematic about that?
Well, it's concerning what all's going on in Minneapolis.
Is it? I mean...
Yes. They... well, it's the context is connected naturally.
I'd have to see.
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up. I will look. Here's the thing: if Channel 8 or anybody else says, "Hey, some big community bulletin board, here's some group doing something," that's fine. Do they need to be you know promoting something that very specifically says, "Hey, let's take to the streets," you know, to show our angst about George Floyd? Probably not. All right. Well, I got homework, and I will now do it. I appreciate it. My next moment of homework is find a very fitting exit tune, something to send you into what is hopefully a weekend filled with blessings. And so I'll do that now while you listen to these. It's 9:50. Great Howard Jones. With words to live by. Things can only get better. Great record from Hojo. Truer words never spoken. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K on the Twitter. Shane Bell, Shane Bell Band, Facebook, Twitter. Find the tunes that they crank out there, shanebellband.com. News ace Gordon Griffin, all of us wish you the best weekend you can crank out. God bless our troops. God bless our country. God bless our families, our first responders, our medical personnel, our businesses, all of our families as we fight our way out of the lockdown and out of the grip of the virus. Have a great weekend. Mark Davis, see you. See you tomorrow online, 2:22. Let's do a little Twitter launch party. Hope we can get this rocket, that candle lit. And Mike Gallagher's next on 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Be good.